Thank you for listening to the Beginner Institute podcast. Please join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Beginner Institute, or you can join our email list at http://Beginner.com and share these recordings with your family and friends.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وقالت اليهود ليست النصارى على شيء وقالت النصارى ليست اليهود على شيء وهم يتلون الكتاب كذلك قال الذين لا يعلمون مثل قولهم فالله يحكم بينهم يوم القيامة فيما كانوا فيه يختلفون
رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى اله وصحبه ومن والاه ثم اما بعد We reached ayah number 113 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Before we appreciate fully the benefit of what Allah is saying in this ayah, a quick reminder of what came in the ayah before. بلا من اسلم وجهه لله وهو محسن. Rather, whoever submitted their face to Allah, meaning their ego, their pride, their entire self to Allah, and they excelled in their deen, muhsin. Ihsan is the ultimate state where one is concerned with everything that they do for the sake of Allah. That's so you're most conscious of yourself. You're extremely conscious of yourself. That's the point I wanted to highlight before I talk about ayah number 113. Let's look at why.
وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ لَيْسَتِ النَّصَارَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ وَقَالَتِ النَّصَارَى لَيْسَتِ الْيَهُودُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ
The Jews said that the Christians, the Nasara, they are based on nothing. They have no basis. They're deeply flawed.
وَقَالَتِ النَّصَارَى لَيْسَتِ الْيَهُودُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ
And the Christians said the Jews have no basis. They're you know, flawed religion.
وَهُمْ يَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ
And it's ironic that they both are the ones that are reading the book. And what Allah is highlighting here is they're reading the same book, Al-Kitab. They're not two different books. Because what was given to Isa alayhi salam is a completion of what was given to Musa alayhi salam. Even in the Christian tradition, the Old and the New Testament, right? وَهُمْ يَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ Now, the thing here is they're obsessed not with themselves, but with somebody else. What is a muhsin supposed to be obsessed with? His own behavior in front of Allah. How he or she ranks before Allah. But they are already very confident that they're okay with Allah. They don't need to be worried about that. When you're so clear that you yourself are saved, you yourself have already attained righteousness as high as it could go, then obviously your pursuit, your mental pursuit will not be about how to better yourself. You'll only be concerned with what to point out about others. So now they're obsessed with pointing out things about others. But in the previous ayah Allah mentioned, no, you have to reach the state of ihsan. وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ فَلَهُ أَجْرُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْسَنُونَ The other interesting thing here is Allah didn't negate what they said. One group said, the Jews said, Christians are based on nothing. They have no basis. The Jews said, the Christians have no basis. And it's like Allah is agreeing, sure, you're both right. You know, he doesn't disagree with either one of them. وَهُمْ يَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ And yet it is they who read the book. Here's something else that Imam Al-Alusi rahimahullah pointed out. Is that in this part of the ayah, it is they who read the book. In other words, they read the book only to find out who is not based on anything. They have no basis. So they're reading their book and trying to find evidence, proof, that the Christians are deviant. And the other is trying to find out evidence and proof that the Jews are deviant, and that's their entire religion. Their entire religion is just finding out proofs for who makes what deviant. Sound familiar? Right? When we reduce Islam to just this practice, just saying, oh, this group, they're based on nothing. That group, they're based on nothing. And what's your proof? My proof is here in the book. Look at this ayah. Because of this ayah, these people are deviant, those people are deviant, these people are going to hell, those people are going to hell. This is the exact opposite of what you're supposed to be doing. And so this practice is a practice of ignorance. So look at how the ayah ends. كَذَلِكَ قَالَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ مِثْلَ قَوْلِهِمْ This is just like the speech of those who knew nothing. They said things exactly like this. People that were totally ignorant said exactly similar kinds of things. It's interesting, Allah compares people who read the book. Now people who read the book are obviously knowledgeable. And in the same ayah, He's comparing them to people who have no knowledge. Obviously, if they have no knowledge, it means they read no book. In other words, He's saying even though they read the book, they are still ignorant. They still don't have any knowledge. They don't have the knowledge they're supposed to have. And so he says, فَاللَّهُ يَحْكُمُ بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ Then it is Allah, He will judge between them on Judgment Day. Another very important piece of the ayah. They're so obsessed with judging the other, not realizing that the judge in the end is Allah Azza wa Jal. And here just a subtlety that Muslims should also understand. We don't speak about the fate of the Christians or the Jews or the Hindus or the atheists. We know already very well, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ Allah doesn't tell us to point fingers at the Jews and the Christians and things like that. What He tells us to point fingers at is shirk itself, kufr itself. Whoever does kufr, this will be their fate. You personally, I don't know how you're going to end up. I don't know what, you know, you might come to Islam later on. I don't know what exactly you believe. I'm not going to generalize. These are the principles in which we stand. In other words, Allah gave us knowledge by which we can judge actions. We can judge ideas. We can judge beliefs. But we still don't judge people. That judgment is reserved for Allah. That judgment even is reserved for Allah. So Allah says, Allah will be the one who judges between them. فَاللَّهُ يَحْكُمُ بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ Allah will be the decisive judge between them on Judgment Day. فِيمَا كَانُوا فِيهِ يَخْتَلِفُونَ In all of the things they used to be disagreeing about. All of those disagreements will be resolved. All of them will be dealt with clearly. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّا مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ This is early Madani surah, like I mentioned, most of this surah is early Madani. And in this time, of course, the Jews and Christians, the Muslims are coming into contact with the Jewish and the Christian community. The focus, of course, in Baqarah is the Jewish community. The focus in Ali Imran will be the Christian community. But at the same time, we shouldn't forget that there's a third party, which the Messenger ﷺ was first in contact with, who still have their animosity towards Allah's Messenger. Those are the Quraysh. So now you've got three groups of people. The Jews, the Christians, and the Mushrikun. Now Allah reminds us of those two groups, but He also takes us back to the third group, which is the Mushrikun. And He says about them, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمْ Who could be more of a wrongdoer? مِمَّا مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ Than the one who forbade the masajid of Allah, meaning forbade people from going to the houses of Allah. مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ أَنْ يُذْكَرَ فِي هَسْمُهُ وَسَعَى فِي خَرَابِهَا That Allah's name should be mentioned in them, and they made efforts to corrupt them. Now Allah didn't just specifically talk, even though most Mufassirun say these ayat are hinting towards the Kaaba, and the Mushrikun stopping the Muslims from coming to the Kaaba, and then putting idols in there, therefore causing corruption in them. But Allah, interestingly, in the ayah didn't say Masjid Allah, He said Masajid Allah. What's Masajid? Plural, it's all masjids. Allah is saying, who could be a worse person than the one who forbids people from going to the houses of Allah? Forbids the masajid of Allah. And interestingly, the maf'ul bihi is not mentioned. Forbids who? Allah doesn't say, مَنَعَ النَّاسَ أَنْ يَذْهَبُوا أَنْ يَزُورُوا مَسَاجِدَ Allah. He forbids people from going to the masjids of Allah. The phrase literally says, forbids the masjid of Allah. What that implies is, it forbids people from going to the masjid. What that also implies it is that the person forbids the masjid from doing what it's supposed to do. The masjid has certain functions. It's supposed to be able to do certain things. And this person makes sure that the masjid does not get to do those things. مَنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ It's as though Allah is saying, the masjid itself wants to do an act. And this person is forbidding that act. Right? Now what are the acts that this person forbids? أَنْ يُذْكَرَ فِي هَسْمُهُ That his name should be mentioned in them. His name, Allah's name, should be mentioned in the masjid. And this, you know, ذِكْرُ, you know, اسم ربك اسم ربنا, this mention of Allah's name, the name of our master, some sahaba interpreted this to mean the Qur'an itself. Because the best way to remember the name of Allah, سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى فَسَبِّحْ بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ الْعَظِيمِ This is Qur'an. So they stop Qur'an from being taught. Stop Qur'an from being recited. Others believe this to mean that the houses of worship in the Christian and the Jewish communities were originally masajid. And then Allah's tawheed was refused in those masajid. It was stopped. So then Allah says that Allah's name was not allowed to be mentioned. And then the other thing is, there is a sect among the Christians, and there's also a major population within the Jews who talk about God as someone who shall not be named. God shall not, He who shall not be named, right? And they speak about how His name is so holy and so sanctified, you can't even call Him by His name. And so Allah says, who could be a worse wrongdoer than someone who refuses to allow for Allah's name to be mentioned, to remember. So Allah is basically alluding to the fact that this is one of the tricks of shaitan. You take away the, you know, فَأَنْسَاهُمْ ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ Like the Qur'an tells us. Shaytan istahwadha alayhim shaytan fa ansahum dhikrallah. Shaytan basically wrapped them around his finger and made them forget the remembrance of Allah. So to convince them that Allah's name is so awesome, you shouldn't even say it. What an amazing trick. So, you know, أُولَٰئِكَ مَا كَانَ لَهُمْ أَن يَدْخُلُوهَا إِلَّا خَائِفِينَ. These people, they deserve nothing else, except that when they enter the masajid, they should enter in a state of fear. This has been again interpreted in multiple ways. One of them is that those masajid, they were supposed to be masajid, but now there's no mention of Allah in them. Instead of becoming a place of peace, those places become a place of terror and fear. What's interesting in Christian tradition, if you look at the architecture in Christian tradition, right? They stain their windows. You notice that in the Catholic tradition specifically? They keep light from coming inside. And they specifically design windows in a way that the only light that comes in is the one that shines on the statue of Mary or the statue of Jesus. So you feel like you're in the dark and the only light is over there. That's kind of the design structure of, you know, the Christian, the old church tradition. A lot of churches even today, there's no windows. Like some sects actually, they don't allow for the windows. Like Jehovah's Witness, if you notice one of their temples, you won't see any windows there. What's really interesting is, one of the first things you'll notice, especially in classical church architecture, is it's terrifying. It's very dark, and dark stone, and large towers, and, you know, dark corners, dark, you know, there's not enough light inside. So this is one thing that it may be alluding to. The other thing, the ulama that believe this ayah is talking about the mushrikun who stop people from entering the house of Allah, Allah is saying, no, they have terrified the believers. What they deserve is, they're the ones who shouldn't be allowed to enter the Kaaba, and if they do ever enter, they should be terrified. أُولَٰئِكَ مَا كَانَ لَهُمْ أَن يَدْخُلُوهَا إِلَّا خَائِفِينَ. In other words, the table should completely be turned. What Allah is alluding to here is, right now the Makkans are in charge of the Kaaba, but a time is coming where instead of the believers being afraid to go to Makkah, it will be the kuffar that will be afraid to go to Makkah. And so Allah says, مَا كَانَ لَهُمْ أَن يَدْخُلُوهَا إِلَّا خَائِفِينَ. It is not becoming of them at all to enter it except in a state of fear. لَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا خِزْيٌ. For these people in this dunya, in the world, is humiliation, especially for them. So Allah guarantees in this ayah, for example, the humiliation of the mushrikun. It hasn't even happened yet. This is early Medina. They haven't been humiliated yet. This is actually, many even consider these ayat before the battle of Badr. So there's no physical humiliation even happening to the mushrikun yet. But Allah guarantees it already. لَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا خِزْيٌ. وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. And in the Akhirah they will have enormous, intense, great punishment. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim. Wa nafa'ni wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-Hakim. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.